greater than the farmers. It's a new kind of day, new kind of hour. It's a kind of life, it's a kind of flower. 77 million, we ain't wrong. What you gonna do when you bust us all? Like a locomotive coming on down the track, a band of gypsies, we ain't turning back.
Oh, yeah. It is obviously the 420 Report with your host, Ed Rosenthal, just back from a whirlwind tour of other places. Good afternoon to you, Ed.
Hi, how are you doing?
I'm pretty good. How are you?
Oh, I'm feeling fine.
Good. How was your trip?
Oh, it was a very unusual trip. I went to Amsterdam. Well, that's not too unusual for me. And then I went to the International Cannabinoid Research Society Conference, which this year was held in Balaton, Hungary. That's right.
Oh,
and Balaton, Hungary is famous for its naturally radioactive sands that are supposed to be very healthful. But I did
not bring any of it? No.
I did not go in the water.
Oh. Are you a city boy?
I probably drank some of that water, but that's why I'm glowing.
So indeed. So the International Cannabinoid...
And at that conference, this was a very interesting conference.
Society. That's
because it's all PhDs, mostly supported by the federal government or by pharmaceutical companies.
Not our federal government, but a federal government.
And this is a great organization. You know, Groucho Marx once said, I'd never join an organization that would have me. And when I joined the organization, you did not have to have a PhD to join. But now you do.
That's a good thing.
So I'm sort of grandfathered in. And so this is an organization that if I tried to apply now would not have me. But
so good. That's exactly the kind of organization.
Yeah,
exactly.
So I fit Groucho. That's the qualifications that Groucho had.
So tell me, what are the burning issues at this International Cannabinoid Society conference?
Well, you know, this isn't a political conference at all. This is just about the science of cannabinoids, not even of cannabis, but it's specifically of the chemistry. And a lot of the chemistry is getting away from what we would think of as cannabinoids because it's going into molecules that dock on the receptor sites of the same receptor sites that the cannabinoids dock
onto.
In
the brain.
In the brain and all over the body, actually, and in cells all over the body. And so... So a lot of it's getting away from what we would think of as cannabinoids. But I'll tell you one thing. We'll go into this on another show in more detail. But CBD, which is one of the constituents of one of the cannabinoids, it's associated with the high, they found does not get you high. It doesn't potentiate the high. It doesn't denigrate the high. It doesn't bring the high down. Has no psychoactive effect. But it does kill cancer, both in the cells and in organisms. And so there's a lot that was very exciting, and there's a lot of research behind it. And people are very excited with CBD, even though it isn't psychoactive. So that was a lot of the conference.
So what countries were represented in the society?
Well, most of the scientists are from the United States, but there were Britain, Italy, Spain, Israel. Israel has a big contingent because they do a lot of studying in the cannabinoids. And, you know, both THC was discovered in Israel by Dr. Raphael Meshulam. And he has a big laboratory and a lot of grad students and interns. And so they have big studies of cannabinoids. And in the past few years, he's been working on this cannabinoid that you would inject into the brain after trauma, and it prevents apoptosis, which is planned cell death. So when cells in the brain have a trauma, they die, and then they send out a signal to the other cells around them that they
saying,
should also
I'm
die.
Out of here. No.
That they should also die, and
oh.
There's a cascade effect. That's why when people have a stroke, sometimes initially it isn't too bad, and over a few days it gets worse and worse. Well, this doesn't prevent the cells that were wounded from dying, but it prevents them from sending out signals to the other cells that they should also die, so you don't get that cascade effect. So
wow,
that's what he's been working on.
Wow, that's fascinating.
Yeah.
It's like, I feel like there's a movie script in there somewhere.
And then in Holland...
Come with me,
yes.
I'm dying!
And then in Holland, we went in... Holland is in this in the midst of the beginnings of their drug war. And, you know, that for 40 years, or since the 1960s or early 1970s, they've been practicing a harm reduction strategy, which was to separate marijuana from hard drugs and allow people to have it. And now they're trying to limit the number of coffee shops and kinds of rules against...
Well, you just said coffee shops, but tell for... Well,
the marijuana...
I have never been to Amsterdam.
Okay, well...
So the result of making it a less...
what they're trying to do, they're criminalizing it.
And now they're trying to... But as a result of non-criminalization, what has happened? Well, there have been coffee, the blah, blah, blah.
Well, they never legalized it. But what they did was they had tolerance. And so... They allowed and licensed coffee shops, which sold coffee, but they also sold marijuana and were similar to dispensaries, although you didn't need a medical.
Friends who have been to Amsterdam have told me these tales. You go in and order.
Well, imagine a dispensary here that also serves, but that would also serve coffee and that also that has
and croissants.
Well, I don't know about croissants. Bagels are getting real... You know, I think there's a big war between Israel and France, croissants or bagels. That's formed a lot of their foreign policy, too. What's happened in Holland now is that there are more and more rules, and they're shutting coffee shops down. For instance, a 16-year-old was in a coffee shop in Amsterdam, and she didn't actually buy marijuana, but she was just in the coffee shop. And then when
there's an age limit.
And then